The cabaret of ideas has begun. I'm in a booth. I'm in a booth with a lady. What's your name?
Zoe. Zoe Raven.
And what's your speciality, your skill?
Today, I'm talking about forest schools and principally getting children outdoors into a natural environment.
Are these like schools in the forest?
Schools is probably the wrong word because it's not like a classroom, but there's a quite well-known saying about the best classroom is roofed only by the sky. I can't remember who said that now, but it's true that children learn better in an atmosphere where they feel at ease, stimulated, inspired, and a natural environment is best for that.
Wow. What do you find being... I can see some straightforward things being different to the strict regime of a classroom, but what are some of the benefits of working outdoors?
Well, interestingly, when you say strict regime, there are some strict rules, and the rules are that you don't go beyond a certain area, which is usually marked by a rope. There's physically nothing to stop children going beyond that rope, but one of the amazing things with forest schools is that we have children with very challenging behaviour, and we never, ever have any behaviour problems, because in a forest, when you say to children, don't go beyond that rope because you might get lost, they can look beyond that rope and see, actually, it's quite a scary place being in the forest on your own, away from adults, so they don't go beyond that. And similarly, when you've got a fire circle, they very easily understand that if you go too close to the fire, you might get burnt, you might get hurt.
You've got a photograph here, and there is a ring of stumps, tree stumps, which have been, I think, brought into the space and made into a beautiful circle, almost like wooden standing stones. And kneeling next to each stump is a child dressed up for what looks like autumnal, maybe winter weather. And they are feasting on what appears to be burgers and things and food, which is cooked on a central, raised, interesting-looking little fireplace. Fire pit in the middle of the circle. What an awesome-looking woodland barbecue scene.
And it's great because the children get involved in actually preparing the food. They're only allowed into the fire circle with an adult, and we have heat-resistant gloves that they can wear when they're handling the frying pan. There's a picture there of a child frying sausages.
And he's kitted out with these heavy-duty, heat-resistant gloves, and there he is. When do they get this kind of freedom to cook?
Well, exactly.
We're told fire is dangerous, and
yeah,
it is.
Well, also, you'd think a bowsaw is dangerous, and we...
What?
How old is
that child who is using a professional hardcore... Well, I must admit, you're not... It's not difficult to sell this to me. It was only last week I took both of my children.
Climbing trees. You think climbing trees is dangerous, but children have an innate sense of danger. They won't climb beyond the point where they feel comfortable. And sometimes we have to help them down, but we don't allow children enough of this experience to get out in the real world and test their own abilities, and their confidence level goes through the roof. The intensity of their involvement has to be seen to be believed, because you get children, particularly boys, I know that sounds a bit sexist, but particularly boys, who get very frustrated by being cooped up in a classroom. They come into their own, because you can solve mathematical problems with building dens, because you can use large sticks, and the construction ideas of it's physics, it's mathematics, you know, how many things do you need to do this, how are you going to fasten that? It's social building, team building skills, because they're combining their skills as a group to build a bridge. I haven't got some of the best pictures.
Where is this happening?
We do them in Milton Keynes and Northamptonshire. So we use Parks Trust sites. They're very good at helping us use sites.
And you just use kids from average everyday schools? Is it called an outing?
In the term time, we do mainly for our own nurseries. We run a group of nurseries called Acorn Childcare, and all of our nurseries have forest schools on a regular basis. In the holidays, the school holidays, they're opened up to any child that wants to come from that is school age. We have to charge because we can't afford to do it for nothing, but any child can come along and join in our forest schools.
What does it cost for a kid to attend forest school?
About £21 a day, but that's a full day, half eight to half five. So it's a fantastic experience. They have their meals out in the forest. They spend all day in the forest. If they're very young, if they're below five, I think if they're four or below, we're restricted to just half days with them because it's too long a day. It gets quite cold in the winter.
Have you got the book? I don't know what it's called. I'm going to give you a book recommendation by describing what the book is about, and I'm going to guess that it's called 101 Things to Do with a Stick. But do you have a copy of this
book?
Yes,
I think I do.
It's a phenomenal bit of kit.
We've got lots of books. There's another great one called Nature, about Nature Deficit Disorder, which is all about getting children out outside. It's an American book, so it's full of Americanisms.
Well, with a title like Nature Deficit Disorder. Yeah. Of course, they've got to invent a disorder for it.
It's true. Yeah. But at our start of our conversation, before you started recording, you mentioned about using technology to tell stories, which is why you've got this thing stuck in front of me. But... funnily enough, although Forest Schools is all about going back to basics out in the open, we use our mobile phones a lot because we take pictures of what children are doing and we email them straight to the parents.
Yeah.
And we're experimenting with ways of doing that in a sort of time-efficient way so that parents can see what their children are doing and see the engagement and the excitement and the thrills of what they do.
So kind of I can probably give you some tips on real-time documenting with minimum of fuss to a secure place where parents could then access the
that's
images.
That's the sort of thing we'd like to do, because parents need to see what their children are doing.
They do. I'm amazed. I mean, I was just about to say, I take my children into the woods because it might be we're walking the dogs, or last week I actually taught my little boy how to light a fire with a spark. I just so happen to be into bushcraft.
Yeah.
Not that many people are. I mean... Let's start encouraging grown-ups by going into the woods, because what you have here is a model that could be exactly swapped out for meetings.
Absolutely.
How many meetings have you been into where you don't want to see those four walls again?
Absolutely.
Let's go and sit on logs. Let's cook up some
scram. Take your child for walks in the forest and do interesting things. A lot of children don't have parents who are able or willing to do that.
Yeah.
We have some nurseries in quite disadvantaged areas. And when I asked my forest school leaders, Gemma and Donna, the other day, which of our nurseries they most enjoyed taking on forest schools, they said, well, we enjoy all of them, but they named one particular nursery where the children live on an inner city estate and don't really have much access to outdoor natural environments. They walk on pavements inside shopping centres and inside houses and flats, and high-rise flats sometimes. So they don't have that experience. They don't have parents that can or will take them outdoors. When they took them on their first forest school, some of these three-year-olds took... Well, we took some two-year-olds as well, just for a forest walk. Gemma was saying that they noticed how slow the children were to walk across the forest floor, and she couldn't quite understand why they were so much slower. There's no reason why these children... And then she watched the way they were walking, and she said, these children don't know how to walk on a rough terrain. They've not walked on a forest floor. They don't know how to pick up their feet and walk over branches and over...
That's amazing.
And you just think, how wrong is that? That these children don't understand... I mean, these are the same sorts of children who don't understand that carrots grow in the ground and potatoes come out of the earth. You know, they think they come in packets of crisps and chips or whatever. And it's really important for children to see their food being cooked, and they will eat all sorts of things that you wouldn't expect them to eat if they're involved in actually cooking it. And being outdoors, they get a fantastic appetite. So they always eat everything at forest schools.
Do you have a blog or a website talking about forest schools?
We do have a website, and we're just about to start our blogging on it. And so forest schools will feature on that. Our website's acornchildcare.co.uk, so we will be shortly starting our blog.
Fantastic. I look forward to see how this is going to develop. And anywhere in Cambridgeshire yet?
They are all over the country. Some places are further ahead with it than others. Depends on the local authorities how much they've provided training and funding in that area. Because to do a forest school properly, you have to have the training.
Yeah.
You can't start using bow saws and tools and fire and all that kind of stuff without understanding how you do...
I can just imagine the parents reading the small print. So it says we need to get dirty clothes that are okay to be dirty. Let's get those on it. Okay. And there'll be bow saws, fires and... Oh, absolutely fantastic. Probably the most mind-stretching that child's going to go through for quite a while, to be in that environment. Yeah, really inspirational. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.